This is Sunday night's main event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting.
With Dan the Mouth Labransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
Oh, boy. Here we go, everybody. Welcome to it. It is the Sunday night's main event after party. I am Jason Agnew. Of course, joining me tonight as we do after WWE pay-per-views is Dan the Mouth Labransky. Both of us sporting the Great Lakes and Mouth currently pouring some into his mouth, of course.
Yes.
Labransky, I made a terrible mistake.
What's that?
I got up this morning super early, and boy, did I feel like it was bedtime around 9 o'clock tonight during that show.
That's it. You got to pace yourself on these days like this, man. It was a long show. Yep.
Unnecessarily, you know, so we did the show this afternoon. We previewed everything, and
I basically got it right, saying that Raw won every single match except the main event.
Yeah, but I was going to say, you know, we'll preview these things sometimes, and we'll be a little bit down on them going into the pay-per-views, but there's been a couple times, this year especially, where the pay-per-views have really surprised us.
Right.
But this one had so much stacked against it. Because of just the Survivor Series concept is so poor in the Raw versus SmackDown world, because there's no stakes when you put title versus title and no title on the line.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That was the big thing we were beefing about this afternoon. Yeah. And if that wasn't enough, though, Jay, they had to go add a whole ton of other crap to this pay-per-view to make it even worse. This was the worst. This was a giant commercial for Rock's new stupid show on Netflix. This was horrible. This pay-per-view, to me, especially the opening vignette to start the pay-per-view, showed everything that's wrong with this company was in this pay-per-view tonight.
I mean, Mouth, you and I, we always used to, when before the COVID time, we used to get together, and one of the things that we always did with pay-per-views is eat pizza. That's a big part of our pay-per-view viewing. But
yes,
that's our part of the pay-per-view viewing. I don't need to see it on the actual show when Pizza Hut jumps in for a sponsorship.
Not just jumps in, involved in the match. The pizza's at ringside. The pizza's involved. We have Otis eating pizza in the ring during the match. We have the Street Profits throwing pizza at the people in the crowd. Oh, no, and just everything. The whole thing with McMahon and the egg, and like, it was just, it was horrible. A lot of the in-ring, the guys worked, but like you said, the storylines, the motivation, and then all this junk about the Rock's movie just destroyed the show for me. It was horrible.
It really was, I felt, a new level of product placement.
Oh, are you kidding?
And it was overwhelming.
Yeah. It's never been this bad in the past before, ever. Like, this was, and it wasn't just one thing. Like, we had the pizza thing, we had the Rock thing, we had all this stuff. And then, you know, just the regular amount of silliness thrown in too. Like, now the bad lead guitar gives Nakamura special powers. And like, this show is horrible. Have I said it enough yet? This show is horrible.
It was really off. Pacing was really off in the show too. And we'll point it out as we go through it. So for those of you that may be new and may be watching, I'm Jason Agnew. That over there is Dan the Mouth Labransky. Mark Andrade is the Matrix behind the scenes. What we normally do on these shows, much like our old time on Live Audio Wrestling when we were doing this on the radio, we will run through this and then we will take your feedback from patrons only, actually. If you want to be a patron, it's patreon.com/SNMEradio, and you guys can raise your hands and then we'll take your feedback on the show. And the nice thing about this, number one, you can see us for better or for worse, and number two, no commercial breaks. So we'll get right into it here then, Mouth. And did you watch the pre-show? I guess you did, because you already talked about Nakamura and Priest.
I foolishly did.
There were AEW chants in the crowd while the announcers were at the table. And then, instead of putting the Battle Royal, which I kind of thought might be on the pre-show, they went ahead and put Damian Priest versus Nakamura on the pre-show. So U.S. champ versus IC champ. And as I wrote here, this is a great sign of things to come because we do not get a clean finish in this match. And we kind of knew, Mouth, that that's the way a lot of these are going to go. Because when you put a belt versus a belt, you're trying not to hurt either guy. And ultimately, because of that, it hurts the match.
Right. Yeah, well, that's finish. It, exactly. Because you have to find out some ridiculous way to end it, which they certainly did with this one, with Priest getting the guitar away from Boggs there and smashing it in half and then corking Nakamura with it, ending in the DQ. So, yeah, unfortunately, this match or feud or whatever it is will probably continue.
Well, no, it won't continue because they're on different brands.
Oh, right. Of course. Yes, of course.
Nothing continues.
You're right.
That's another part of the problem tonight.
Yeah, exactly. It's dead.
Yeah. Nothing continues. So yeah, Priest gets DQ'd here, and they credit SmackDown with, quote-unquote, a big win.
Huge. Huge, because it was on the pre-show. That's huge.
Oh, sorry, that's Raw. Raw gets a big win here, because Raw got everything.
That'll be the story of the night.
Yeah, Raw got everything, so Raw got a big win. Kevin Owens interrupts the announcers. He's going to redeem himself tonight and show everyone he is who he says he is. And we'll get more into that a little bit later. But then we see what would go on to be the theme of the night. Vince McMahon pulls up in a limo backstage. He pulls out one of Cleopatra's eggs from Red Notice. Now, Mouth, I've watched the movie. I watched it the day it came out.
Okay.
It's, number one, it's not good. It is, and it defies logic of not being good because we all love The Rock. He's so talented. I really like Ryan Reynolds. Mm. I can do without Gal Gadot. But the whole thing, just not a good movie. You expect it to be funny, and they don't work all that well together, to be honest with you. And this did not work well in tonight's show.
No, this was horrible. Well, the thing that cracked me up about this segment, though, is that they had all the little jobbers out there cheering for McMahon as he pulls up in his limousine. All the guys that are probably going to get released next week are all out there cheering for Vince McMahon while he pulls up in his limousine. And yeah, I hadn't seen the movie, so he gets out with this egg, and I'm like, what is this, a Fabergé egg here? What is going on here? Vince has an egg. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I was kind of out of it until they got into that opening vignette, and it kind of becomes clear what the egg's all about.
So before we get there, the announcers throw to the pay-per-view saying Charlotte versus Becky is going to be opening. Now that's a bit of a change, because I heard reports earlier today that was actually going to be the closing match on the pay-per-view. And when I did hear that, I kind of thought, all right, if that's the closing match, considering the way that they have promoted this thing, I'm guessing that they're going to jump back to 1997 and do a Survivor Series screw job thing. But listen, if there's one thing that we can pull positive out of this, Mouth, we did not see a Survivor Series screw job this year on Survivor Series.
Just in flashback, when they showed the one with the Rock there, and McMahon and
Nick
Shane,
Foley.
Where they took what happened in the real one and used it as an angle later on.
Yeah, I think that was the year after they did.
It was
that.
Like a year or two
98.
After. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So the pay-per-view begins, and the entire opening is an integrated promo for Red Notice on Netflix, as we talked about, and then it is.
You saw more
Charlotte.
Of. You saw more of the movie than the wrestlers in that opening. I thought, like, that to me, like I said, that was the epitome of what's wrong with the company. When you're starting one of your big pay-per-view shows of the year with an ad for a product with a guy that's not even there. Like, I just thought it was so bad. And it's not even, this isn't even a theatrical release. This is just going on Netflix, right?
Yeah, that's huge, though. I wouldn't necessarily think that that's bad thing. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that are going straight to Netflix now. I mean, the world has changed. But what you brought up with a guy that's not there, I mean, the fact that they had promoted this as the 25th anniversary or, you know, 25 years since The Rock debuted, and they play Rock stuff all through the show, and it's sponsored by The Rock's movie.
Yep.
It's like you're doing all the things around it. And no wonder they got Rocky Chance. And this could all be by design. Don't get me wrong, because if you have Reigns do the Rock Bottom in that final match, clearly you're saying this match is coming.
Yeah, I suppose so. That's a good point, though, because that was one of the things I thought of. They've put all this energy into pushing Red Notice tonight, and you couldn't even get a 10 or a minute long clip of The Rock just talking, like something. Like, if they're going to celebrate this big anniversary, why can't Rock come on and do at least a little something? He could pre-tape something. He doesn't have to be there in person. You know, I was really surprised that he didn't have any kind of presence in this entire show. I thought for sure that they would at least have a clip of him talking or something, especially since they based that battle royal around his history, right? Yeah, so
they did.
I thought, yeah. Which seemed to be another last minute thing, because I don't remember them mentioning that on SmackDown at all. They just said there's going to be a battle royal on the pay-per-view. They did not mention that it was going to be The Rock's battle royal or in tribute to his 25 years. So I don't know if that just came out of the blue as well, but they did not talk about that on SmackDown.
Becky versus Charlotte opened tonight's show. They both got new outfits for the show. Charlotte was in black, and Becky got the rest of the red PVC that Liv Morgan used on this week's Raw. She's looking like Britney from, I believe it's the Oops, I Did It Again video. And crazy. I thought she was going to stab Charlotte with her crazy boots.
You know,
on top of the knees?
Yes, those crazy spikes at the knee. Yeah, those did not look comfortable to wear, no.
They didn't look comfortable to work in, for sure. So, yeah. Listen, we kind of knew that because of all the teasing behind the scenes and the confrontation that we knew about, that they would try to play this one out like a brawl. And it did have a very intense start. No moves to kick things off. A lot of kicking, punching, even some hair pulling.
Yeah.
And, I think we might have started on the high note of the whole night with these two. I think there was one botched spot in the middle of this, and for some reason, they decided to replay the missed boot spot where Charlotte missed the boot and then spun around and hit the elbow sort of kind of. Like, it was a botch, and they replayed it. But other than that, I mean, despite all of the conflict backstage with these two had a match that lived up to everything that it should have been, I thought.
Yeah, I think that, well, obviously the two of them realized, you know, that we have to put the differences aside and kind of do this. But at the same time, like you said, wanted to play off it. And there were several spots in the match where it did kind of degenerate into just them wailing at each other, right? Flailing around like you might expect a real scrap to go down backstage. But yeah, the two of them worked out. Pat McAfee, I had to say, made me laugh in the commentary when he said that there would be future documentaries made about this match. I thought that line was pretty funny. Most of it was pretty good. The finish was kind of cool with Charlotte trying to pin Becky using the ropes, but the ref sees it, so it doesn't go. And then Becky just flips her over, but does use the ropes because she's on the other side and the ref couldn't see it. So she gets the win. I liked the finish.
Yeah, we had a couple other things that happened in the match as well. Becky going for the figure four, Charlotte going for the disarmer, so trading each other's moves in the match. Again, a pretty well put together match, and Becky does come out with the win here as well over Charlotte, and so you can tell that these two are just going to be attached and clearly are going to be revisiting this feud over and over again as time proceeds forward here, right?
And yep, and so at this point, 2-0 for Raw.
Okay, keep that tally. There was a vignette 25 years ago. The Rock makes his debut at Survivor Series. And then there was a vignette for Drew McIntyre's career history for no apparent reason other than the fact that Drew's in the next match. But, like, I don't know why. There was a few vignettes tonight. I don't know why we saw them.
Dude, there was one like that right before Big E and Roman. Yep. We had that one for Bobby Lashley. And I'm watching this going, what the hell is this? I was trying to figure out what they were doing. I'm like, it was just a generic Bobby Lashley vignette. It wasn't for Raw.
Nope.
It wasn't for a match.
Nope.
Like, it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And it wasn't like they needed to fill time. They were already at 11 o'clock when Reigns and Big E started. So, yeah, I don't know. I was completely perplexed by that. It was so weird. And it was long. It was long.
It was long can be said for a lot of what went on tonight. Men's Survivor Series match, Team Raw, Rollins, Balor, Owens, Lashley, and Austin Theory versus Team SmackDown, McIntyre, Hardy, Woods, Happy Corbin, and Sheamus. So there was 20 minutes between the end of the last match and the beginning of this one. 20 minutes because
entrances.
There's so many entrances. I mean, I know people like entrances, but honestly, can't we speed them up a little bit? 20 minutes in between. And that's part of the pacing problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the main event with Big E and Roman Reigns, that entrance for both of them took forever. Yeah. Forever. It's like they're walking to the ring in slow motion, both guys. And like I said, you're already 3 hours into a show. You need, come on, guys, speed it up a little bit here, you know?
Four if you watch the pre-show.
Right. Right.
Right. So when we watched the pre-show, yeah, this show did feel long, and it didn't have to be. There was a stat that Brian Alvarez just put out, Matthew Smith just put into our chat here, saying 107 minutes of wrestling on a show that's been on the air for 186 minutes. So 79 minutes of videos and entrances.
Yeah, that's insane.
79 minutes of videos and entrances for people who don't generally... For people who don't need the recap videos if you're watching the pay-per-view.
Yeah, no,
you're already engaged.
Or we don't need a generic video telling us who Bobby Lashley is. We got it. We know who he is. Thanks.
So Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins argue about who is going to start the match, and Owens then walks out and is counted out, a la Bad News Brown, who did it years ago when he walked out because he but that was right at the end of the match. This is to start the match.
Yes,
Kevin Owens, this is Bad News Brown impression. But, you know, it's funny because what he's going to say is, he's going to say that, you know, I said I'd prove myself, but I lied, and that's me proving myself.
Right. Like,
that's the new gimmick with Kevin Owens now, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Baron Corbin's eliminated by Finn Balor. Xavier Woods taps out to the Hurt Lock. We then have a big deal about Lashley and McIntyre facing off, and they both get counted out while brawling outside of the ring. Mouth, in the first six eliminations, three were count outs.
Yeah, I know. Ridiculous. Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They don't want some of these guys to get pinned, I guess, right? So they feel it's better to just do lots of count outs. But a count out looks ridiculous in this kind of match, right? It's stupid.
So in this, we continue on. As Drew is standing and brooding about being counted out, Seth decides to taunt him, and Drew headbutts him. Sheamus gets a near fall, but Seth kicks out. Finn Balor eats a brogue kick and is eliminated. Sheamus is eliminated by Austin Theory via pinfall, and he uses the tights here. Sheamus then punches Theory before he leaves. He also clotheslines his teammate Hardy when he leaves. And, I mean, the fact that Sheamus and Hardy are on the same team is pretty crazy if you think about it, because they spent a lot of time feuding against one another. Hardy hits a swanton on Theory, so he's eliminated. So it ends up, Mouth, with Jeff Hardy versus Seth Rollins. And Hardy goes for the swanton. Rollins gets the knees up, and Rollins hits the stomp to get the win. So I kind of made this prediction this afternoon, but, you know, when it came down to it, this would have been really helpful for Austin Theory.
Well, for sure. I kind of thought that's maybe why he was thrown in the match in the first place, right?
Yeah.
I thought, oh, here's one of the guys from NXT they've brought up. They're actually going to give him a little bit of a push. But nope, did not happen. It was predictable to have Rollins win. I guess they just didn't want to deviate from that.
Well, you see where I guess they're going to go right now is you're going to go back to Raw, and you have Big E coming off a loss, but Rollins has won, and Rollins will pick at Big E as the next opponent to say, hey, you know, I won, you lost, I'm better than you. Boom, there's your match for day one, I guess, is
right,
the next pick,
right? Yeah.
That's where we
go. Okay, so it's 3-0 Raw at this point.
Okay, keep it going. Rock vignette number two, the Screwjob parody on Mankind. We talked about this, where Rock becomes the corporate champion. And then we go backstage, and here's just more weirdness.
Yep.
Roman?
This was bizarre.
This was really weird. Roman Reigns goes into Vince's dressing room, where he has the egg on his desk, and he's playing with this, do you know, like a bright orange cell phone?
Yes.
A bright orange cell phone case.
Yeah.
Vince brags about having Cleopatra's egg. It was given to him by The Rock. He tells Roman it's not a prop. It's the real egg.
Yeah, man. $100 million.
$100 million. Reigns says that's as much as his next contract. He walks out. Vince kind of does a double take. Vince needs, I mean, we've said it before, he should not be on television.
No.
And he was the guy years. When was the time he said that, Mouth? What, when he was in his 60s?
Yes, maybe long time ago. 50s? Yes. Yes, long time ago. He purposely took himself off television, right? And said, that's it, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, this whole vignette, my only notes are, what the hell was that? Like, it had no purpose in the program later on. It doesn't even really help promote the movie in any way that I can see. Roman Reigns not in the movie, neither is Vince. Again, where was Rock? Why didn't we get the presence of Rock in this somehow? I just thought it was so ridiculous. So, yeah, another wasted vignette.
The Rock's 25th anniversary 25-man battle royal that has nothing to do with The Rock is next. The ring is pretty full. When we come back out of the vignette, the guys have the red and blue jobber shirts on. Zayn, AJ, Omos, Ricochet, and Street Profits get entrances. And this is where we get the big Pizza Hut sponsorship that we're talking about. They have up at the top by the screen, they have a couple tables. They got pizzas covering them, or pizza boxes covering them. I guess they have some new pizza box deal. And along with that, the Street Profits come down. And they've got pizza in their hands. This is bananas. The pizza finds its way into the match, as we talked about. All this was, though, this entire 25-man battle royal was to get Omos over and make him look like a monster. So much so, we had like Godzilla versus Kong here. We had the monsters battling here, Mouth, and the monster is Omos.
I wouldn't call it Godzilla versus Kong. This was incredibly one-sided. When he ran up against Shanky there, he tossed him out right away, right? So it's not, you can't say Godzilla versus Kong. This was too one-sided. Yeah, no, absolutely. He had what, like 12 eliminations, I think, in the match, I think, was the final total. So yeah, absolutely. That's all it was about. It was, well, I have it written down here, just to sell pizza and to put over Omos. That was the only thing this was about. It really had nothing to do. It was all filled with jobbers, like we suspected when we talked this afternoon. And it had, and you know, the goofy tricks. AJ jumps out right away and just stands around for a while. You know, the Montez at the end, he's grabbing pizza and he's throwing slices of pizza at the crowd like they're baseballs. Like, no one would want that slice of pizza.
I got a feeling those wrestling fans would eat those damn slices.
Oh, I don't know, man. The way he was throwing them, if it hit you in the face, it would.
Oh, no. I just had a power failure.
I'm telling you, the chat is lighting up here. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, I got to let you know, the way to really enjoy this is to become a Patreon subscriber.
Yes.
To get in on this private Zoom. The chat is lighting up with Jason has been released, says Tommy Lang. Jake Alinar is wishing Jason well on his future endeavors. There is a lot... There are a lot of burns happening on Agnew. Angry Agnew is getting burnt in the chat right now.
Oh, my dear. Too. Oh, dear. Oh, well, that's it. Well, that's it. Yeah, he has been future endeavored for at least the next few minutes anyway. So,
we're going to get some vignettes with Jason Agnew carrying his guitar and a gravestone with his own name on it. And then we just won't hear from him ever again.
That's it. Exactly. That's it. We'll see his name on a casket in a graveyard match or whatever. Okay, well, after the goofy battle royal to sell pizza, we had the RKA bro against the Usos for the tag titles here, just to see who's better. No actual titles changing hands or anything. I mean, again, most of the in-ring on the show is good. I mean, the Usos are always good in the ring, right? Their matches are always pretty entertaining. This was okay to me. I mean, it wasn't on the level of, say, the Usos with the New Day. The Usos and the New Day always seem to have those really killer matches with each other. And I didn't really get that feeling with this one. But they all worked hard. There was one point where Orton gave both the Usos side slams on the announce table on the outside. And the finish was Jey Uso coming off the top to splash on Riddle. But then Orton gets him with the RKO in midair. They love doing that spot with Orton. So he gets the RKO out of nowhere as he's coming down. And so they flip him over. They pin him. Gets a huge pop. And they win the match. So, and now it's 5-0 for Raw at this point.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty great ending. You know, I know that, you know, a lot of people are thinking that the RKO out of nowhere is played out because we've just seen it so much. But I was still genuinely surprised by that ending, and I thought it was a well-executed RKO out of nowhere. I think Randy Orton also thought that, just based on the way he sort of celebrated after he he was genuinely pleased with himself.
Yeah, again, the work in the match itself was good. It's just that there's no real story here, and nothing was at stake, so you really can't get emotionally involved.
Right, and the fact that there was no story is kind of the story of the pay-per-view. Yeah, we've got Jason back here.
Hey, Mark, though, but that's a good point. Maybe because there's no story in the matches, they felt they needed this dumb story with McMahon and the egg.
I don't think that story's dumb. I think that is... Now we're talking... See, now we're talking about booking for the future, Dan. This egg... This egg is gonna...
Okay, I'm what's the egg?
Okay, no matter what happens with this egg, it's gonna be brilliant, right? Like, either this leads to The Rock at WrestleMania. Yeah, with the egg. This is a battle for the egg with The Rock. Or, tomorrow night on Raw, the gobbledygooker is just sitting on it.
Listen, if the gobbledygooker was going to be sitting on it, then why, by the way, I had a power surge. Then why wasn't it there tonight? That is a logical conclusion, and someone brought that up on the board.
Well, I mean, you know, tomorrow it's is not American logical. Thanksgiving as well. Well, I mean, listen, it's a loose logical, Dan. It's a logical with air quotes.
I don't know if that's where they're going. I saw lots of people posting about gobbledygooker and stuff, and it's like, why do you need to go back there? I guess maybe now that's got to the point where that's considered some lovable thing from the WWF's past. But I have no idea why you would want to revisit any of that kind of silliness.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible stuff. I'll let you guys get back at it.
All right. Thank you for covering, Mark. Sorry, guys. I actually had a full-on power surge that knocked out my modem and my one of my computers. So, wow. But a modem, it's hard to broadcast. All right. Lovely, lovely. So, at this point, where are we? We're in Adam and Sonya are in Vince's office here. Have we done that one yet?
No, okay, we just covered RK-Bro and Uso. So, gotcha. Yes, you're perfect.
So Adam and Sonya are in Vince's office. Sonya is on the phone talking about how great tonight's show is. So she is flat out lying at this point.
She's not watching it. Yeah.
Yeah. Vince comes back to his desk and realizes that someone has stolen his $100 million golden egg. This is like, I don't remember what event it was, but remember when they hired Leslie Nielsen and George Kennedy?
Yes. Yes, it was horrible. They threw out, it was something to do with Undertaker. They were looking for Undertaker, remember?
And they ended the whole thing with, oh, look, we found it. The case is closed. And that was the pun that they used to end this whole thing.
Yeah, it was horrible. This wasn't even as good as that, though, because this just kind of went nowhere. Like, after this, it goes tomorrow.
It's going to tomorrow is where it's going. They do say. I mean, this so is the brutal. Vignette where they say he tells Pierce to go find the egg. If he can't find it, then he's going to be on Raw tomorrow night and get to the bottom of it. And the announcers then say all the superstars will be on Raw tomorrow night.
Yeah. Whoopee.
That's something for Mark and I to look forward to. On the
you guys can figure out the case of the Fabergé egg. I'll sit this one out.
Here's another random vignette that is played. The Xia Li vignette that we saw on SmackDown is played here tonight as well for no reason.
Yeah, I just to comment, though, I really did like the vignette when I saw it on SmackDown. I think it's really good. This is the approach to take rather than out-and-out fantasy. I thought it was really great play on the Japanese anime and that. But, yeah, why was it here? She wasn't involved in this show in any capacity. She's not in... Well, she's not even around yet, so yeah, I don't know.
Women's tag matches next. Team Raw, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Queen Zelina versus Team SmackDown, Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi, Natalya, and Toni Storm. Carmella is eliminated very quickly by Toni Storm because she's unable to figure out how to put her own mask on.
Yeah, exactly.
There is then a long time when no one is eliminated and the crowd gets bored and is dead and starts to do the wave.
You know, that's usually like they're really bored if they're going to
really
do the wave.
Really bored.
Like, I mean, really. Bored. Yeah.
Shayna versus Bianca does get the crowd back a little bit, but they lose them again. Then there's some quick eliminations. Zelina by Storm. Liv Morgan eliminates Storm after that via pinfall. Banks pins Liv Morgan. Rhea gets eliminated by Baszler. So now it's 4-on-1.
Yes.
And Belair is the only person on the Raw side. So, Mouth, will this be the time when SmackDown can finally get into this whole thing? Well, no, because... everyone's dysfunctional in Survivor Series matches.
Yeah.
Shotzi and Sasha start to argue. No one lets Banks back into the ring, so Sasha is counted out. It's 3-on-1 now. Bianca eliminates Natty. She then eliminates Baszler. So it comes down to Shotzi versus Bianca. And to no one's surprise, Bianca beats Shotzi.
Yep.
And, I mean, makes her look strong.
Yes. Yep. Yep, and makes the Raw brand look strong.
Yeah, because it's another win for the Raw brand. All right. From there, we go to a vignette of The Rock once again, because that's our focus tonight. And then a vignette for Becky Lynch from a couple years ago on SmackDown. Oh, so that's Becky Lynch and The Rock are together. Sorry, that's the vignette we see there. And then Kayla runs up to Paul, who's making fun of people from Brooklyn. Kayla asks his reaction to the fact that Brock's suspension may no longer be valid. So she's not sure, but she just wanted to throw that out there and ask him if what his reaction to that is. Paul says, go ask Pierce about that. And then we have the Lashley package that we talked about, where it's just Bobby Lashley being promoted for no reason. So that plays. A day one promo package plays. And we lose like, mouth now?
It looks like we lost Dan, yeah.
This is a disaster tonight. Oh, my goodness.
This is our first time on YouTube. And this is what's going on. Yeah. You know, I think it's the curse of Lily. That's what's happening. Lily, we haven't seen Lily in a while.
That's what's happening here. All right, so we'll continue on here. The main event is Big E versus Roman Reigns. We get some Larry Zbysko-style stalling by Roman off the top, and this is a crowd, keep in mind, that's already been sitting around for 4 hours at this point, and they're doing stalling here, which not really a wise move, and the crowd's very dead to start this match. Like, they are not into this. Roman did a rock bottom. The crowd chanted for that, but they chanted for The Rock, and who can blame them? I mean, this is what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, where they're continually throwing out all this Rock propaganda. We want The Rock. We want The Rock. We want The Rock. You got to think, if they're sitting there, there's people that are thinking that they're getting The Rock tonight.
Yeah.
They weren't getting The Rock. They just got a rock bottom. That's about it. Big E eats three Superman punches and a rock bottom still gets up.
Got the wrestling move and the metaphorical rock bottom of this pay-per-view.
Yeah, for the actual pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big E eats three Superman punches, still gets up. Big E does the big spear off the apron, which looks like he kills himself. It looks like he kills himself every time he does that. And then gets back in the ring to eat a spear from Reigns. However, Big E kicks out. We get a let's go Roman, let's go Big E chin here. So this is about 20 minutes into this match. The crowd is finally into it. It took them a while to build because they did start very slow, which is a weird choice when you're this deep into a show. And you already know the crowd hasn't been that into this show to begin with because it's been so poorly paced. Roman then does the guillotine, but Big E converts that to the big ending. Roman uses the ropes to prevent the pinfall here. And finally, Roman hits a spear and boom, we're done. So I guess the gimmick was, Mark, Roman had to do so. I mean, it was three Superman punches. It was a couple spears. So Big E took all this punishment. They're making him out like Roman's strongest opponent so far. But ultimately, he took the pin. And, you know, Mouth and I were talking this afternoon about how difficult Survivor Series is to book because of the fact you don't want either guy looking bad. And they did go ahead and do a clean finish at the end of this. I mean, credit for that, would you say?
I guess, yeah. I mean, they had to, right? Because the Becky Charlotte wasn't that clean a finish, even though it kind of was, but it really wasn't. So yeah, I mean, I don't mind that they did it here, and I don't mind that they started the match slowly. Meet the audience where they are, right? Like, they're tired, their audience, their energy is low. Meet them where they are, and then bring them up through the match with you. That didn't bother me so much.
I guess, yeah, it was just the choice of going that long. It was not the choice of going that long in this match. It was the choice of going that long in the pay-per-view unnecessarily, because I get it when you've stacked a card and you have a whole bunch of things to do or your matches are going to go long, but just unnecessarily throwing in so many vignettes that we didn't need, even product placement aside, you know, you look at that Big E one, you look at the one that they rolled in for Xia Li for no reason. Like, there was just so many no reason vignettes. And they were also spending their night hyping the crowd up for something that ultimately wasn't going to happen. That crowd, because they didn't get The Rock tonight, you know, some of them are going away disappointed.
I'll take you worse than the Xia Li one, because at least the Xia Li one was fairly new, although they did do one on SmackDown. But the one you were talking about earlier, the Bobby Lashley one, that one was truly unnecessary. My goodness.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So we don't know if we're going to get Dan back. I don't know what's going on in Toronto right now. I mean, Very separate places, but we got some, I don't know if they're rolling blackouts that are happening or what. Mine just flickered and it took everything out.
I hope I'm not.
And next. We'll see if Mark, because if Mark goes down next, he's the Matrix and we're just saying goodnight for those of you that are still here with us. Yeah. Let's go to the raised hands here. For anyone who does want to raise their hands, patrons, you can raise your hand. You can ask your questions. And here's the deal. You just click raise your hand and we can bring your audio up. We can bring your video up. If you have it, if you want, it's completely up to you. But having your audio is a good thing. And someone says, Dan, did Dan just get future endeavored? No, Henry. Dan will be back. I mean, I don't know if he's going to want to be back to do any more WWE. The power probably went out of mouth place and he went,
I'm going to bed.
Screw it. I'm going to bed. And I got up early.
There were a lot of jokes when you left the chat, when you left the stream, there were a lot of jokes that you had also been future endeavored and that you've been released. So
you know, you never know. That's Chris Gaskin.
Chris Gaskin is here.
I put on the old ref gear.
You look great.
And you created your own Sunday night's main event background?
Yep. Just for you guys.
That's awesome.
Wow. He's an excited child.
I should have foregoed any video, actually.
No, you're doing great. This is great.
No. So Gaskin's on all the time. So Gaskin refs pro wrestling and stuff. So what did you think of tonight's pay-per-view? You wrote me in the middle of it and questioned your life.
Oh, jeez, man. I wrote you right in the middle of that that battle royal and was I literally was like, what are we what are we doing with our lives? And I remember you saying, I hate this. Me and my buddies were all like dying laughing at that moment. I thought Becky Charlotte was very good. I thought the main event was very good. I wasn't a fan of how the Survivor Series matches were paced. I thought the tag match was very good. The Sasha Banks elimination, the reffing me was very upset about that because I felt she was in the ring far enough for that count to be reset.
That's the one where she continually came back over and over again, right? And you had people touching her and interfering. So I get it. That could have been justified as not being eliminated.
The number of matches I've seen where the guy slides halfway in just his torso and back out and they reset the count. They like WWE follows their own rules anyways. The one takeaway I really took from this show was the difference in crowd between the AEW show and this show was like that AEW crowd. They looked like they were having fun, you know, and I think I was with the rest of the crowd this night and not having a lot of fun, despite how hard all of these people were working.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that the performers all do work hard, but it's just a matter of, again, like the fans are not invested in this product. They go, I guess, for the show. And I think that that's why they get the entrances, and the entrances sometimes outdo the actual matches. Like they're there to see people, but they're not necessarily there to see the matches or the storylines that make no sense.
Yeah.
And on the AEW side, you have a very different crowd vibe. You have a very different mentality in the crowd and they're there for different reasons.
They're there to have fun and they're there to see a good show and good wrestling, and it's almost like WWE seems like the outing to go to.
I mean
like you're just you're there because it's WWE. And I mean all in all, I thought the show was better than it had any right to be with the buildup. I mean, you know, aside from all the Vince McMahon nonsense, aside from all the vignettes that made no sense, literally the Drew McIntyre one, I was like, oh, he's going to be the sole survivor. And then he's eliminated like third. And I was like, what is going on? Like, I've watched wrestling 30 years, at least. I know how to see this. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, I mean, even in that match, I said it earlier, these matches do have the ability to help people, and it doesn't, I mean, I know you don't want to hurt the main event guys. They're thinking that maybe it's going to hurt Lashley, it's going to hurt McIntyre to have them eliminated. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to do that count out, then Rollins doesn't need it. And no. It would have been better served if it went to Austin Theory to me. I mean, they could have played that out. And
that's
they continue
what I thought
to push
as well.
That guy. Yeah.
I mean, that at the very least, like Bianca Belair looked very strong coming out sure. of that. But again, it's also to the detriment of how they treated Sasha at the end of that match. Like it really made no sense, regardless of the infighting, for them to pull her out that way. I mean, at the very least, the Kevin Owens one made a lot of sense where he just bailed. I mean, me and my buddies were just howling, laughing at that. And I was like, this is what a coward heel should do anyways.
Right.
I mean,
I seem to be his new character.
I miss the days where the coward heel champion just bails and gets counted out and goes, I'm still the champion. You know? Yes,
the chicken shit heel, yes. The honky-tonk yeah. man Ric Flair scenario from back in the day. Gonna yeah. toss myself over the top ropes to get disqualified when that was a thing.
Dude, it was the greatest. Like, just classic heel booking where you keep coming back because you want to see him get beat.
There you go. Well, Gaskin, thank you very much for jumping in. Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
We are going to move along. I know I'm staring at the chat. And if you have questions and you don't have a mic, you can also post them up in the chat. So go ahead. Just make sure that you're casting out the hosts and panelists or just click on everybody so everybody can see your questions. You can type them up there. I think we've lost Lavransky. He's a lost cause at this point. But if he comes back, we'll put him back in. But Mark, do we have another?
We do. I'm just getting him to turn his camera on. Tom, feel free to turn your camera on and jump in the stream, or at least unmute. Your chef's choice over there.
There you go. All right, Tom, what's happening?
Tom, you gotta unmute, Tom.
Gotta unmute.
We're doing great.
Hey, Lavransky's back.
Look who's
hey.
Back.
All right.
Sorry, guys.
Don't be sorry. All right, so Tom, you managed to unmute. We're just in the Q&A mouth, so go ahead. How you doing?
It's nice to see that Dan had drink a little bit more than he did last Saturday.
Yes.
Because this event is completely nuts. I would not want to have to be in the blue haze or the red light all night to watch this stuff. And this is just garbage.
Wow, there you go. There's Tom's just saying it's just garbage. It was a tough one to get through. I mean, it was very long. I'll give it that. And it had no need to be. Can you give us a positive thing tonight, Tom?
It was a 3.5-hour...
I don't know if your toplessness is positive, Tom. I don't know if that's what we were all asking for.
Hey, no, hey! Whoa!
What's happening? Okay,
what, I was just gonna say, what have I come back to?
This is amazing. This is why we live stream this. This is why this is on YouTube.
What is going on, Tom?
Don't be sorry. Why are you sorry? This is great.
I'm just trying to do this.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Positive. It's over.
What's over?
It's over.
The event is finally over.
Okay.
That's the big positive takeaway, that Survivor Series is done.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Thank you for chiming in. Oh, man. All right. Do we have another? Tom
we
is
do.
Still there on
we
my
do.
Screen. Who else do we got?
We have
Who
Greg.
Can top
we have...
that?
What's that?
Who can top that, though?
There's no such thing. There's no such thing. This isn't a game of topping. This is all enjoying each other's company. Here we go. Greg's coming up.
Greg from the Peg. What's
Greg
up?
Greg from the Peg. Wanted to talk about the releases.
I promised the people on this stream and the patrons out there that I am fully clothed.
Cool. That's a good start.
Just putting it out there. Anyhow, okay. Becky Charlotte match should have been the main event. It could have gotten a big pop. tonight. That's my only grievance on it. Now Dan's kind of winning me on my on the side in terms of the finish, because that could possibly be reviewed for WrestleMania in the greatest stadium of all time in Dallas, Texas, in April, per se.
What are we talking about here? Are we talking about Becky and Charlotte in WrestleMania? Okay, yeah. Cool. Yep, maybe. And, you never know, they'll keep coming back.
As well as, I will say this, in terms of the releases that basically soured each and every single public relations outfit for the start to promote the Survivor Series, I am starting to wean myself off of the WWE product because of this.
You're a long-time fan, though. What are you watching? Are you watching the AEW as well?
It's going to be basically pay-per-view only. Only see Raw and SmackDown two or three shows before the pay-per-view to see where everything's at. And that's about it.
You're gonna watch two or three shows before every pay-per-view, and you're still gonna watch the pay-per-views, but you're giving up WWE.
It's not gonna be like me hardcore and seeing I have to watch Raw, I have to watch SmackDown to see what's going on. It's not gonna be like that anymore.
Hold on, Ken. How many Raws will you watch before each pay-per-view? Two Raws, and will you watch two SmackDowns as well? And there's about a pay-per-view every month, so you're shutting down for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And then you're picking back up for 2 weeks. You're making it clear to them that you are only following them half as much as you used to.
It could be one. All depends on the pay-per-view.
So are you?
Because to me, they're doing something that is not, I will say, is virtually not ethical to my standards in terms of them being released.
Are you watching Raw tomorrow night?
All depends on who is playing on Monday Night Football.
Okay. Well, we all have our standards and our rules. Greg, always
For example, Hit Row was only called for a month and they get released.
Yes.
Come on.
That happened. Yep.
Come on. Karrion Kross gets Bucks and Giants. That's fairly decent.
Football now.
But the thing, you release Karrion Kross for a month. Something's going on that they're bringing up these NXT guys, signing them to new deals, and then releasing them, and they're sticking them with a 90-day non-compete. Something's going on.
Well, Greg, you keep looking into what's happening. We'll try to find out on our side. Thank you for chiming in tonight. I appreciate your use of the rule of thirds on your screen as well. But we're going to move on to our next Zoomer. Cool?
Thanks, Greg.
Cool.
All right. Thanks,
Greg. See you, Mark.
Up next, Jason, Jake, we do have Jake. Jake is slowly coming up to the virtual stage.
All right.
I also appreciated Greg's use of the third. That was a very artistic shot.
It was. It was an artistic shot.
That was a little too last year and bad for me.
And here's Jake.
All right, Jake, go to it.
Hey, guys. How's it going? How can I follow up on those guys?
Well, keep your shirt on. That'd be one thing.
Nah, don't worry about it. So.
You know what? I think we should all take our shirts off. I'm going to do it, too.
Oh, I'm going to do it, too. Yeah, let's go. All right, I'm just kidding. Just three words after this pay-per-view. I don't care. All those Rock videos, the stupid egg caper, and not even a pre-tape Rock promo from home that you even mentioned, Mouth. This was just a draining show. it was slowly paced. And granted, you know, AEW Full Gear was 4 hours long, but at least it kept, you know, the pace going, and it didn't feel like it was.
Well, and you had some emotional involvement in those storylines as well, right? There's no emotional involvement here at Full Gear. You were interested in every single story, right?
Absolutely. It's just the thing about this pay-per-view is just the low stakes concept didn't really mean anything. It's just a night of non-title matches, elimination matches over brand supremacy, so-called, which no one really cares about, and while the fans may enjoy the matches in the arena, I mean, they clearly don't care about which brand wins. Like, why would they? I guess the reason to watch Raw tomorrow is to find out who stole Vince's egg. So
that's actually the big draw for Raw tomorrow.
That's horrible.
That was the push. Brutal. It is who stole the egg.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I mean, yeah. But to change the subject a little bit here, I actually want to talk a little bit about Ring of Honor, if you don't mind.
Well, you've brought it up, so we can go there. Sure. I mean,
sure. For Mouth, for a couple of weeks from now, it's going to be Final Battle on December 11th, and even though it's going to be interesting how they try to present this, because although they explicitly stated that they're planning on coming back in some manner in April. It's not a guarantee, and the fans will treat this as somewhat of a farewell show for them. I'm curious to see, you know, do you think you can possibly anticipate some surprise guest appearances from names of the past for this event? Maybe like a Joe or Brian or Punk, do you think?
I don't know. That's a tough one, man. I'm not sure how Tony Khan would feel about that, if he'd want to be latching himself onto something that is possibly dying or whatever. But, I mean, it's a tough one. I think that final show is going to just kind of going to be a standalone show, and it's not, you can't build any storylines or anything on it, right? Because, you know, they say they're coming back, but who knows for sure? And besides, they're going to have non-contracted wrestlers, so every show is just kind of going to be a standalone show. You can't really do any storylines or stuff like that when you don't know who's going to be on the show. So I don't know. I mean, Ring of Honor, it's fallen so far off the map now. I don't know, even if those guys were approached by Ring of Honor, whether they would want to do it in the first place at this point. So I don't know. I mean, and already we've heard Jay Lethal has said he will not be at that show, right? He's full in with AEW now. So, I mean, they're even losing the guys that were there already. So I don't know. I don't suspect there'd be any, I don't really think there will be any special guests at it.
So Boris is chiming in here and saying, remember, there's one final show Christmas weekend with both world titles on the line.
Right. Right. That kind of makes sense. So
that factors in at all.
Factors in all. All right. That's all I have, guys. So I hope you have a good weekend. Cool. Thanks.
Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it. All right. We have more. I believe we have Matthew next, Mark?
Yep. Matthew's on his way up. Just a slow Zoom. Sometimes is a little bit slow. What's wrong? Why are you laughing?
It's fine. I'm aware of your games, Andrada.
What games? What are you talking about? I thought we were all doing this. I'm the only one who's doing it. I thought
that's not a thing. Not a thing. No.
I was under the impression we were all doing it. Matthew Smith, if you want to turn your camera on.
So quick to jump on the latest trends, Andrada. So quick to jump on a trend.
That's me.
Matthew Smith coming off the. Yes, that's right. You're jumping on the trend.
So quick to jump on a trend.
Coming off the fame of this afternoon of having a 0-0 battle with Daniel Shahori when we talked about Survivor Series 1997 and did trivia that didn't involve Bret Hart. Amazing. No one remembers anything.
Oh, no, of course not. Yeah.
So we'll have you back, Matthew, but we got you here tonight. What did you think of tonight's show, or what's on your mind to bring up here? You got to unmute, buddy.
Mute.
There we go.
Yeah, sorry.
Good stuff.
No problem. It was the Night of Champions. We got to see Omos in action, which I think is just setting him up for a future title run, showing how dominant he is. So very excited by that. But I think overall the show met my mediocre expectations. The in-ring work is always, you know, it's never bad by WWE, but overall, inconsequential, I think, is the term that's been thrown around. The women's opener match was fine. The men's closing match was fine. The actual Survivor Series matches themselves, there's no point to them, and that's the name of the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. I think on a podcast recently or an interview, Xavier Woods had said how the winning team should get the last five spots in the Rumble, and the losing team should get the first five spots in the Rumble. Make it mean something.
Yeah.
You know, put some sort of stipulation in there. Give us a reason as fans to care about the show. Yeah. And then the whole show
doesn't have stakes.
Yeah, there's no stakes. And the whole show, watching it, I felt like I was watching a YouTube video with ad blocker off, because every 2 minutes an ad would pop up about the Rock's movie or about, whatever.
Pizza.
Yeah. Well, hey, the pizza led us to almost, so I'm okay with that one. But just overall, though, the show was there. It happens. Like, I don't know what else to say about it.
Well, there was
an event.
Yeah,
it was Mark loved it.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I found it funny, though, that the whole tagline of Survivor Series is, the one night of the year, Raw and SmackDown go head-to-head. But the Wrestling Observer just tweeted out the SmackDown roster to appear on post-Survivor Series WWE Raw.
Because of the egg, Matthew. Yeah. Because of the egg.
That's right. The whole SmackDown roster has to look for the egg.
Yeah, yes. He wants the egg. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, well, you must have been happy, though, Matthew. You at least got about 1.6 seconds of Shane McMahon on your screen tonight, though. So.
It's true.
Well, that made it the best Survivor Series in the world.
There you go. Matthew, always lovely. Thank you for chiming in. Appreciate it. Thank you for all of your comments on the Facebook as well. You're delightful.
I try my best.
Let's continue on. Mark, do we have another raised hand, or are we wrapping up whatever this has been of this after party?
I don't even know what to call it. Yeah.
But this is how I think these after parties need to be shirts off from now on. I feel like that should be new.
I don't understand what
that should be our thing.
What do you mean? I expect this of you. I don't expect this of when we have someone pop up on screen that all of a sudden is like, this person doesn't have a shirt on.
Listen, hey, everybody's at home.
That's great.
You're getting
that's
comfortable. True. You're watching Survivor Series. You're having pizza. You
got it.
Come on.
Yeah.
You're wearing your Ric Flair underwear and sitting there with no shirt on.
100%. Nobody out pizzas the Hut.
There you go. That does wrap us up, though, Mark?
I believe it does, yes.
All right, good stuff. All right, guys, so listen, Mark and I will get to the bottom of this whole egg thing. This is the long-term booking that we will investigate into for the midweek markout bright and early on Tuesday morning. We will tell you who stole the egg and report on that. And then, Mouth, you get to talk about actual wrestling on Thursday with Joe.
Yeah, thankfully, I do think I can say pretty safely right now there will be no eggs or pizza involved in this week's episode of Dynamite. So,
I'm going to bet there might be in BTE, though.
Well, that's a entirely different animal, though. That's an entirely different animal. Yes, yes.
I could definitely see that. All right, well, we're wrapping up, guys. Thank you for joining us for what has undoubtedly been the most bizarre after party we've ever had, with two power failures, two topless men.
My internet cut out. Yeah.
I know. It's been completely nuts, but thank you for tuning in, chiming in, and being patrons of the show. We appreciate it, and we'll be back next Sunday for Sunday night's main event. We're going to introduce you to a new part of the team. Mike McGuire will be joining us. We'll tell you all about him next Sunday, because he's co-hosting the last bit of the show with me, another grizzled radio veteran that we are adding to the team.
That's right.
So we'll do that next week, guys. Have a great night. And let's face it, tomorrow, and as well, aside from maybe Raw, but the other part of your day tomorrow will be better than what you watched tonight. Just know that. Just know that.
I kind of wish it was Easter. I have a hankering for one of those Cadbury eggs now.
Get out there. They're available year-round.
Okay. I'm going looking.
Later, boys.